I must have scared everybody off when I told them that message this morning, didn't I? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings, your mercy and grace. Lord, we're just so glad to be part of the family of God. Lord, we just ask you to have your way with us. Lord, help us to be obedient to you in the service, out when we're out in the work for you. Everything, everywhere we go, everything we do, help us. Lord, we'll say this to have your way with us. Use us, guide us, help us, give us wisdom, give us leadership, knowledge, the things we need. Equip us for the task that's ahead, and we ask you. Lord, we love you and praise you. It's such a blessing to be able to be used of you. What a privilege that the God of the universe will use us. Thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's remember Tuesday evening prayer and dinner midweek. The Appalachian, we will not, association meeting will not be till next Monday on the 21st. So remember that at first, free will. And Tuesday we'll meet and pray. Wednesday will be our quarterly business meeting. So remember this. And let's see. Then next Sunday evening will be our PM communion and foot washing. So remember all of these. Do remember church membership. We don't have a date yet, but in the next few weeks, we'll set a date and we'll open the doors for church membership. Anyone that has any baptism needs or anyone, we can schedule a baptism. Also, so we'll take care of some stuff as we start the new year off. Anyone have any announcements to miss any? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening, remembering all of our names in the prayer list, and we lift each one up. Pray for the Street family. Lost a loved one. It's Coy's uncle, Marshall Street, went to be with the Lord. What did I say? Brother, huh? Yeah, I guess he is. Brother-in-law, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Thank you all. And remember them. I'll let you give the request now, and I'll just write them down. Take any special request you may have. Ray, Brother Ray, having kidney stone surgery Wednesday. Miss Edna is having eye surgery Tuesday, so remember her. Others. Let's remember our nation. Let's remember Washington, D.C. I'd like to see them get a little more concerned about working together. I'd like to see them get a burden for the nation, not for the parties, but the nation. So let's pray for our nation. This morning, I guess one of them, maybe Becky, about Eddie's wife, her back. Pray for them also. And the little street boy, it's a St. Jude's, Adam Street. Remember him and his family. Do keep remembering Melissa, her second interview. Pray about this. So his sister, I'm just getting families messed up. His daughter-in-law has had surgery too, remember her. All that will, let's come and gather around the altar. All that'll come. Let a request be made known. Brother Ray, would you lead us as we pray? Lord, Jay, would you ask that?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, again, it is an honor and a privilege, Father, to be back in your house again tonight. Lord, we thank you for all the rest of life. Lord, for all we stuff on the teaching every day. Lord, we ask you to see you as your servant. Lord, we thank you for sweet, sweet spirit that come this morning. Lord, we ask that you just long brother tell from the power of time when the word of God be made. Father, the word of God is all today. Draw stronger and closer to you, Lord, to that better witness and that better servant. Lord, forgive us our sins and our faith.
Miss Donna's going to come and share with us.
Pastor asked me to sing this morning, so I'll do it for the Lord this evening. I'm so glad God saves all sinners, aren't you? That's kind of my testimony song. First time I'd never heard this song before, and I was going through the cassettes, and the name God Saves All Sinners caught my eye. And I kept going. I was looking for a particular one, and sit back down there. And I couldn't find it, and just by coincidence. I just, you know, something, I don't know. Go back to that one. And I pulled it out, and I listened to it, and I was in tears by the time I got out of there. I said, that's my song. So this has been my song and testimony, so listen to the words. This is not one of my comfort zones, so we'll just do the best we can for the Lord. That's all he asks, little as much when God's in it, ain't it?
Sinners and rich sinners and up and sinners and down sinners. There's lost sinners, ain't there? I mean, we're all in the same boat without the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Does anyone else have anything? Anybody else got a song? Anything?
All right. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Would stand, we'll read this passage again. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took in their vessels with their lamps, took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there came a cry. There was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for this, your blessings. Thank you for the time of being together. Thank you, Father, that for this passage. And Lord, I thank you for the power of the Spirit. I felt this morning, and Lord, the anointing and your touch upon this service. Lord, I ask you again for the same thing. You touch the old preacher boy. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I'm unworthy. Father, I pray now that you would guide us and speak to us, and Lord, that this remove out in front of me the oppression and whatever it is that's hindering me this evening. God, I ask you to move it out of the way. Lord, give me the freedom to preach what you want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this morning we started talking about these 10 virgins. And as the funeral procession went on, they had the lamps, but they didn't have the oil. They ran short. Of course, we talked this morning about running out of gas. Most of us has experienced that sometime or the other. When it comes spiritually, I don't want to run out. I don't want to run out. I want to be exactly where God wants me and carrying the lamp and keep lighting my part of the world. But I'll do just a little background. We're looking at these two groups, the wise group this morning. The wise virgins were prepared. Also, wise virgins participated. They was a part of this, I tell you, as if we want to be wise tonight, and we want to be wise in 2019, we'll participate in the things of God. We'll be involved in God's work at a greater capacity, and we talked about in the board meeting just a little bit ago some things, and a thought came to me in that meeting, and I mentioned to the guys, and I'll probably be preaching a message here in just a week or two whenever Lord sees fit to challenge us. I know that excites you that I'm going to challenge you. But I want to preach something challenging for us this next year. And
People that fail to prepare, prepare to fail. People that fail to plan, plan to fail. And I think that as the church and as people and as wise virgins, we need to be prepared and plan for what we want God to do through us. Most of all, what He wants to do through us. But also, a lot of times, He stirs our will. His will is in what we like to do. That's why He wired us up the way we did. So that He could use us in the specific area that He wants. As we look up, and then the third thing we looked at this morning is the wise virgins were permitted entrance to come in to the party, to come in to the wedding feast. So now we want to look at the unwise. These were, in verse 3, the Bible says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Of course, we talked about this a little bit this morning, and we have a lot of folks, all 10 of them had lamps, but 5 of them didn't have enough oil to keep burning. 5 ran out of the gas. 5 run out, run short. They was not ready when the call came. And it's kind of, I know I've preached this passage, I've studied this passage, there's notes all over my Bible, so I know I've taught it, I've done stuff on this passage, but it has never hit me before until I've studied this time that in this passage, half makes it and half don't. I mean, if you looked at that according to this, we look here in this congregation, half of us wouldn't make it. Woo! I tell you, that's scary to me. That is, and thinking, and see, if you were to ask either one of the 10, they'd have said, I'm fine. I've got my lamp burning. I'm ready. And I'm afraid that across America today we have so many churches and so many church people that one day will wake up in hell because that they're not prepared. And as we look on this passage in Matthew 7 and verse 26, the Bible says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So we looked at the wise this morning, it's the ones that heard, and what does it come back to? The Word of God. They took the Word of God and didn't heed. They didn't study the Scripture. They didn't get it embedded in their heart. And they sure didn't try to live by it. And the thing today in America, and what's wrong with us, what's wrong with people that proclaim to be Christians, and wrong with a lot of churches, that we have watered down the Word of God. It don't hold as much importance as it used to. And that we are living in a land that is just about a famine of the Word. And if you start talking about the Bible and you start quoting Scripture and you start telling folks why you stand on the ground that you stand, they look at you like you've got another head. And a lot of folks, and I've worked with them, that thinks that this is just another book written by a man and that you might as well be reading out of the Newsweek. But I'm here to tell them there's not another book ever written that has the power that this book's got. The power to change a life. It's not a help book. It's not a book that helps folks. It's a book that'll change you from top to bottom, inside and out, and turn you completely around. And if we don't study and get into the Scripture, and I know I'm repeating from this morning, but God's just stirred my heart about His Word. My word shall not return void, God said. My word is settled. His word is settled forever in heaven. It's the Word of God. It is what we're going to be judged by. It is everything of the importance of everything that we will ever need. It's in the Word of God. You know, I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, that we're going to come and God starts revealing stuff to us, and He's going to reveal to us stuff out of the Bible. And He said, if you'd have studied, I'd have shown it to you back then. They may be a cure for cancer in here. We just ain't spending that time prayer and fasting to dig it out. See, all the virgins went to meet the bridegroom. Went to meet Jesus. If you ask across the churches today, they'll say, how many's up and ready for Jesus to come? And they'll say, woo, praise the Lord, we're ready, preacher. They thought they were ready, but they wasn't. All of them went out, all wasn't prepared. Maybe they'd been told that, well, we don't need to live like that today. The law is not as important as it is, and we have been, now the law's done away with, and we live under grace. I thank God for grace, and I'm not belittling grace, no way, what, shape, or form, no. But, people has thinks that we've been taught, it's been watered down, that we are now saved. I have been saved. I said a few words of prayer at the altar. A deacon came around, laid his hand on me, and prayed over me. I got up, I went through the baptism. I've now become a member of the church. Well, boy, hallelujah, I'm good to go now. And that's where we're in America today, where we're having a lot of problems, and people think that grace trumps sin. It does. Grace, thank God for the grace of God. I still mess up. But the Bible says in Romans 6, what shall you say then? Shall you continue in sin that grace may abound? Then the next verse he says, God forbid. No, we don't play that way, Paul said. It don't pray that I can sin all week long and then I'll come and have a priest or a preacher or somebody say a few words on me and bless me and everything's going to be all right. I tell you what, it's time that we as Christians stand up and face what we do wrong. If it's a sin in the Bible, it was a sin in Jesus' name. Well, guess what? It's still a sin today. It don't care what anybody said. I can get up here and I can water it down, but you better know the Bible. And you better be sure the preacher's preaching the right thing. He ain't letting me go up there. And it's not. See, we have watered it down so much that nowadays that people have problems. Well, I've got a disease. It's because the way I was treated when I was a little boy. It was because somebody else done this to me. It was because, and we go to pointing around at everybody else, and bless God, we don't go to where the problem is. We just water it down, and it's been watered down. Oh, bless his heart, he's got a problem. Let's talk to God. Sin problem. He needs to get to the cross. He needs to get to Jesus. That's what he needs to do. We got so many folks that need therapy. That's the answer anymore. Therapy. Well, we'll get, and there's nothing wrong with therapy, don't get me wrong. But I tell you, what we need to go to salvation. What we need is get back to the basics, get down on our face before God and plead with all our hearts to a God that's in control and say, Lord, forgive me and straighten me up and clean me up. Lord, I'm going to read your word. I'm going to study your word and I'm going to bed it in my heart and I'm going to learn it and I'm going to do the best I can. The unwise virgins were not prepared. The second one, the unwise virgins were not able to participate. As long as I've been a pastor, this has been
big fear of mine, and I have prayed, and I've prayed, and I've asked the Lord. I shudder at the thoughts of thinking I get up here and preach every week, and somebody sits in a congregation and dies and goes to hell. I don't know about you, but that's a burden I think the Lord's laid on me. And that really bothers me. And I try to be obedient to the leading of the Spirit. I try to preach what He wants me to preach. I try to do what He can, because I do not want that to happen. I don't want to stand before God one day and Him say, "Look, Tim, I laid on your heart to preach, and you hauled around and went over here somewhere and was afraid to get right down in the and plowed down the road like I told you to. And so-and-so went to hell because you didn't preach like I told you to preach." You don't think any big responsibility to stand back here? Woo! A big one. There's going to be people and His members, Sunday school teachers, deacons, preachers, missionaries, that'll wake up in hell. Thought they were all right. Then all those in verse 7, virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." When the midnight cry rung out, the bridegroom cometh. It wasn't a word that they didn't have the oil. When I studied this, the thought came to me immediately, and I printed the scripture out in Judges 16:20. Samson, the strongest man as we know in the Bible, and God the anointed, the Holy Spirit would come on him, and he slew 1,500 Philistines with the jawbone of an ox. He had so many things he could do. But 300 foxes and tied their tails together with firebrands. You, what's a thief catch 300 foxes to me? The things that he done and the power that he had of God in his life, and that all of this, and he went against God's word. And he told what he shouldn't have done. He married who he shouldn't have married. He handled dead things. He went against everything, that's the right vow that he had. He found himself in a bad shape. And in verse Judges 16:20, the Bible says, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said," just like these virgins, what was it they done? They was asleep. They had slumbered and slept. The bridegroom cometh, and they come up out of their sleep and didn't have a clue that they wasn't ready. Samson woke up out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself," and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Woo! We can sit in his church until we become a fish. We can come to church till the church mouse knows your name. Hope we ain't got none here. We used to have it. It don't matter. It's where we stand with God. It's where we are spiritually. They wasn't aware that they had a problem until it was too late. I don't know if this has done anything to y'all like it has me, but this passage this time has really worked on me. Till it's too late. I mean, it's done and gone. There's nothing you can do about it. When you get to this, the wedding feast had done and started, and they was beating on the door and saying, "Let me in." And the door was already shut. Just like it was in Noah's Ark. And I'm convinced, and I've heard it preached, that there'll be sex marks and fingernails in the ark if they ever find it.
bridegroom was on the way, and they wasn't alone. See, it pays to be ready. You might say, preacher, you're preaching way too conservative. If I am, if I'm erring the wrong way, I'm still going to be all right. But what if they're wrong? I like my chances a lot better. I don't want to try eternal security on judgment. I'm kind of like Brother Gary said, or maybe it's Harold that said, William believed. He said, I believe with free will. I hope eternal security, I hope the Baptist is right. But I believe the way of the free will. I believe man's got a will. God will not override that will. That's why hell has to be possible. So people don't want to go to hell. If you don't want to go to heaven, God's not going to make you. It was too late. In chapter 24, verse 37, the Bible said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, or is in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in a field, but the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
Amen.
It pays to be ready.
Amen.
You might be living more conservative than most other folks. You may dress more conservative than other folks. You may live along the lines of conservative. You ain't gonna miss a thing. You ain't gonna miss a thing. The third one, the unwise virgins were refused admittance, or they were not permitted to come in. 11 and 12. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. When they returned, the door was shut. And this is the song Gary sung. What an awful feeling it would be standing unprepared to meet God. You know, and I never tried to get anybody to doubt their salvation. Don't get me wrong. That's not my intent, my goal, nothing to do. The Bible said, though, to be sure to test the spirits and to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I tell you, man needs to know where he stands with God. A man needs to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that he's saved. I don't mean, and I've said it a bunch of times this morning, I don't mean that you made the trip to the altar. I don't mean that you signed up in the wrong book. I don't mean that you're a member. I don't mean you've been baptized. I mean that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're where you're supposed to be with God. And if we're not reading, we're not doing God's will, we're not coming assembling ourselves with other Christians, we're not doing the things that God has called us to do, we're not concerned about God's will in our lives and all of these things, if we're not in that area, then I have to question it and I have to that we are in God's will. When we get out of His will, we're getting out in some dangerous territory. I'm telling you, and I know I've said it, you've heard it, but Daniel was a whole lot safer in that lion's den, in God's will, than he would have been sitting up in the throne beside the king. A whole lot safer. The Hebrew children were a whole lot safer down there in that fiery furnace than they would have been up there dancing to the king's rock and roll. And his today in our Christian life, that it may be that we be in front of a firing squad, it may be that we're in a court lawsuit case, and no matter where it is or what comes our way, that we're a whole lot safer there than we are mingling with the unsaved, with the ones that cares, don't care anything about God's word, will, and doing. They were shut out. It was too late. This passage says, and they said, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Lord, in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone, 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want you to hear this. See, everywhere I look, God's will is just jumps off the Bible. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's who's going to make it. There's who's going to get in. Boy, your preaching's hard to live, preacher. It's still the grace of God, but we've got to be where he wants us. And be in his will. When you get out of his will is when we get in trouble. I know I've said that. But I think I mentioned this morning, in this passage here, he goes on to say, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name. And in thy name have cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. This passage of the ten virgins, he didn't say it quite that way. He said, I don't know you. I believe in chapter 7, he's talking about the ones not been saved. I believe right here, it's talking about the ones that had the lamps. They were in, they had risen in the God's house. They've been in the work of the Lord. They have called upon the name of Jesus, and they have turned and gone away. Now, this is a real unfortunate issue. It's not near as popular as free will Baptist. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Look at, when you go home, look at 2 Peter chapter 2, down toward 21, 22, read that. Hebrews chapter 6, I won't get into these tonight, but I'm telling you, when you get to the point where you have crossed that deadline, you have gone so far as sin, that's why going in a wrong direction, that's why being in a backslidden condition is so scary, because once you cross that line, the door shut. I believe I've got scripture to back me up on that. They had let their relationship slip away. And they woke up and it was too late. What will happen now? Now this is what you come back for. The answer to the question. I said, Lord, what happened? What is the consequence? That's where this message started from, is that thought. I say I don't know where it comes from, I do now. But God stirred my heart with this question. And I said, Lord, what's the consequence? Where'd it come from? Where would you say that the answer to that question is? We're in chapter 25, the last two verses in 24. Go up to 24, chapter 24, Matthew, verse 50. This is the of the two servants. Verse 50 said, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God said, there's an answer. It's before you get to the passage you're talking about. There's the portion. They're cut asunder, and their portions with the hypocrites, and they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's no word but hell. Eternal separation of God. Eternal punishment away from God. That is where we are today. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. The Bible said, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. It's something I'm going to tell you. It's the surest thing that you've ever been told. He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming in the clouds. The Bible said he went away in them. He's coming back in the clouds. One glorious day. With the trump of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. And we alive and may be called up to be with him in the air. That's a sure, but something's just as sure as that. If you don't make it to that, you'll go by the way of death. Either way, the time's up, and we'll stand before a holy God and give an account. And many, many will be unprepared. Not expecting to be. These virgins, when they went to sleep at night, had no idea that the next sound they heard would be, oh, wait a minute, we don't have enough oil. Too late. Too late. It's too late. How many has lived its life and has pushed it to the envelope and pushed it to the edge and lived and say, I've got plenty of time and everything's okay and I'm going to live and do what I want to do. It happens. And let me tell you something. It happens to Christians. It happens to confessed believers. It happens to dedicated preachers that turns their back on God. He said here in verse 13 to watch. This means keep awake. Watch! Keep your eyes open. Stay awake. Don't fall asleep. Don't slumber and sleep like the virgins did. Stay on your face before God. Stay prayed up. Stay studied up. Don't the church ever come the doors open. Drag your family into the house of God. Thank God I had a mama. I didn't have to wonder if we was going to church on Sunday morning. I didn't have to wonder if we was going back Sunday night. I didn't have to wonder if we was going on Wednesday night. I didn't have to wonder if there was a revival down the road. I didn't have to wonder if there was a singing somewhere. Of course, she's the only one got power. It's not the only one. She said, Timmy, get ready. We're going to church. Well, I don't really want to. I went to church. A lot of times they won't go. Thank God for it.
Yes.
Thank God for every time of win. Thank God. I sing that every Sunday morning. I can still see it in my mind. Thank God for that. Let me ask you a question. How many kids are getting that today? We're missing it. We're losing them. And they may need you. Me. To be that and to step up. Let me share it in a minute. We've got one more thing to say and then I'll close. You never know. You're going to slip right out of here.
Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Thank you, Father, for how good you are to us. Lord, I ask you today, Father, that you would just help us to realize the importance and how sober this passage is. How sober and what more than how we need to handle this situation and this subject. Father, be prepared for an imminent return. Be prepared. For we know it's not the hour that the Son of Man comes. Help us to watch. Help us, therefore, Lord, be alert and ready. Lord, not run out and think we're okay. And say, come, so Lord. Deal with our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So I'll stand and turn to page 254. Page 254.
Thank you.
scary it is to fall into the hands of the living God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. God, I pray for thou and Ashley and the kids. We pray for all the children, Lord, that be saved at a young age. God, help us to do our part. Lord, I pray for all of us that's got loved ones that don't know you, that's not been saved, that's in a backslidden shape. God, pray tonight that you'd move upon their hearts. Lord, bring conviction upon them. Lord, let them realize there's a hell. Let them feel and smell the flames. God, I pray that you'll convict our people. Convict our families and our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to realize. God, let us get a glimpse of what it means to be lost. Lord, stir us up tonight. God, give us a burden. Lord, give us a burden for the folks down the road, down here and up the road and over and next to us and wherever we go, God, that we're not looked with contempt, that we're not looked down our noses, God, that we look and see them lost on their way to the devil's hell. Lord, stir us. God, I pray for all these names in this prayer box that don't know you. Lord, give us a sense of urgency.